Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Good afternoon and welcome to NC Tech Talk, North Carolina's internet radio broadcast covering the tech sector. I'm Mark Montoro with the North Carolina Technology Association, or NCTA as we're affectionately known by our members, and your host for this month's show. For those of you unfamiliar with NCTA, we're a nonprofit, membership-driven trade association and the primary voice of the tech sector in North Carolina. NCTA supports economic growth through three initiatives: executive engagement, which is our term for events; public affairs, lobbying in front of state and federal government on behalf of the tech sector; and knowledge workforce, or workforce development, our initiative for helping companies find the talent they need and job seekers find the next step in their career. If you want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, and we also have a company page on LinkedIn. You'll also be able to get updates, tweets on this show, and others make comments if you tweet to #NCTechTalk. We're broadcasting live from Business Radio X's Metro Raleigh station at the Wireless Research Center in North Raleigh. Our show airs on the fourth Monday of every month and features North Carolina business leaders discussing their company's impact on the tech sector. Today's show will feature two executives from the NC Tech Awards, as well as companies that have experienced tremendous growth over this short period of time. Joining us today is Michael Prager, CEO and co-founder for AvidXchange.
Thanks, Mark.
And also with us is Pierre Naudé, CEO of nCino.
Thanks, good to be here.
Yeah. Kicking off with Michael, who founded AvidXchange in 2000 and has since become a thought leader within the payables and payment automation area. Tell us a little bit about your organization, who you are, what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So we're headquartered in Charlotte, and we consider ourselves a software as a service solution that automates how companies pay their bills and revolutionize how a company pays their bills is kind of our phrase that we call it. And we got started in 2000, so we've been at it for a while, and it took us a couple of years to really figure out what our business was. About 2 years into the business, we identified that really automating the accounts payable process was what we did really well. And when we saw our business really started to accelerate, that led to really completing the process with our payment product that we released into 2011, 2012 timeframe, which really accelerated our growth over the last few years. So it's been a fun ride, and it's been great to build a business in Charlotte.
And being very familiar with the wake of the recession and a downturn that was really part of the financial sector, how were you able to maintain the growth that you experienced?
I think, from the beginning, we got started in kind of a strange time, being, April of 2000. So the market was just really starting to fall apart. And the best thing that happened to us is we never raised a lot of money early in our life cycle. And that kind of created a discipline that we were very focused on creating real value and solving real problems that our customers had. And the barometer of solving real problems was that customers would actually pay us for what we're delivering. And that was a great discipline that we had early on. And we were really heads down building our business. And in the nature of our business, it's all about recurring revenue. And we've been able to, by our focus on being passionate about making customers successful, have about 98% client retention over the last 10 years. So it's a lot easier to grow your business faster if you don't have to replace revenue. Mm-hmm. And that's been a kind of a cornerstone to kind of our success of growth.
So you're talking about the payables and receivables industry. I mean, something everybody loves, collections and all that, or even making sure your bills get paid. So how do you take that and help your customers really capitalize on those things and make it better for their business?
Yeah, so one of the things that is important to differentiate and make is the difference between consumer payments and B2B or business-to-business payments, as we call them. The consumer side is really about a very standardized process, logging onto a web portal, like a bank web portal, and executing a payment transaction. There's a big difference on the business side, and that's why there's very few people that have been able really to convert what they were doing with consumer payments on the B2B side. It's really a different sector and a different group of companies that have been focused on business-to-business payments. And the reason is because there's a business process in how companies pay their bills, how they write, route invoices for approval, how they have to integrate it to their core accounting system, and then execute payments, both of which you don't have on the consumer side. So we've been fortunate that we kind of figured that out early and really identified that mid-market companies, the bill payment process really starts with the invoice, and be able to bridge both the invoice management with the execution payment has really been the secret sauce of our growth.
So shifting gears from your product to more your company, and part of what we were doing as we researched all of our finalists for the Tech Awards was we did our research there and saw that AvidXchange had been named as best place to work by the Charlotte Business Journal for 6 years. So what do you think contributes to that? What makes it such a great place to work?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's not by accident. It's something that we work really hard at. And we today have what we call 10 characteristics of our DNA that define our culture. And at the beginning, it was probably me and a handful of other senior leaders advocating what our culture should be. But really once, we're up to now north of 300 approaching, on our way over the next 12 months of being 500 plus employees. You really need to create a culture that can be evangelized by everybody on our team. And it kind of probably starts with the direction of, understanding what our BHAG is, our brand promise, and then a lot of different rhythms that we incorporate into the business that reinforce what our culture is. But to us, it's one of our key competitive advantages.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that because I know both of the companies have experienced some great growth, and I think we want to drill down a little bit more into company culture and finding the talent. But what is the future for AvidXchange? What can we expect out of the next couple of years?
Yeah. We're a business that's growing today about 100% a year. And I think it's evident for what the market opportunity is around B2B bill pay. It's a market segment that's about 85% of companies are still cutting paper checks. And it's that, landscape that we're working to change. What we're active in doing is both focus on innovation and continue to do things that accelerate the adoption of electronic payments for businesses combined with acquisitions. And we announced one at the end of last week. We bought a software company in the payables payments area in Salt Lake City, Piracle Software. And that's a great example of we're going to continue to blend both an acquisition strategy along with innovation related to our core organic growth.
Yeah, we'd read a lot about your expansion in the news. So is that going to all be from Charlotte or is it more about the acquisitions that you're talking about?
Yeah, so I would say that's a great question. What we think is it's about 80% of our new hires are going to be in Charlotte. We were able to successfully get done a deal with the state that we worked a long time on with the governor, as well as with the county and the city, in which we're going to be starting the development of a new corporate campus in an area called the Music Factory section of Charlotte, which is in the intersection still within the inner loop of downtown Charlotte. And it's a great opportunity for us to create really what we think is the technology campus of the future right in the heart of downtown Charlotte.
So if we're looking at this, and obviously that's a lot of great information about your organization, but shifting to you and your personal, professional career, we were talking earlier about how this is your third software company or probably more. Or tell us a little bit about what was different about this company and how did you bring kind of your own personal experience to this success?
Yeah, well, first of all, I started out running a painting business while I was in college, and then thought that it'd be really fun to be on the private equity side. So I really started my career with Summit Partners in Boston on the private equity side, and it was a phenomenal experience in working with lots of different portfolio companies, mainly software. And one of the things that it really kind of opened my eyes to was the value of recurring revenue as well as kind of innovative marketing and distribution related to software. And kind of that recurring revenue theme has been a dominant piece of thinking about all the companies I've been involved with since. So you're right, AvidXchange is the third software company that I've run. And probably the biggest lesson learned along the way is one is the value of recurring revenue and how do you create a product that customers love to use, every day in their business, and to create a value that they'll commit the long-term engagement with you to process their transactions. And that really creates a really stabilizing factor for the business that you can, kind of look forward in the future and know that you have a base of revenue to build off of to make key investments in innovation and other things to really propel you forward.
So I know this is going to be a little bit off script, so I apologize already. And Pierre, you're going to have an advantage because you'll hear about this. But tell us about your favorite book. What would you say was a book or a mentor, something that you would point to somebody else saying, I'm a business leader, I want to make an impact, and I want to learn something. Is there anyone that you would say that one made an impact on you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I've noticed about myself is as our growth has escalated and, you know, where we've done more acquisitions, my bandwidth and time availability to read books has probably been on a kind of a downward spiral. And so I pick and choose very carefully where I spend my time. The biggest book that's impacted myself and really our business in the last year is a book called Rhythm Systems, and it's about a set of systems that allow you to really bridge your strategy with execution in a high growth business. And the author is Patrick Thien, who I've also now engaged to be my business coach. And so that's had a big effect in our business in terms of how we're scaling our people and making the connection to execution to our strategies. And then, you know, kind of my airplane reading is the Harvard Business Review.
Very good. I could say I've read probably 24 books this year. None of them were on paper. So yeah, if it's not audio or something like that, it's definitely easier to consume. So I can understand that. Well, thank you, Michael. We'll talk a little bit more later in the show here. But for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to NC Tech Talk on Business Radio X, Metro Raleigh Station, the monthly internet radio show hosted by the North Carolina Technology Association. We were just talking with Michael Prager, CEO of AvidXchange. And you can learn more about us at nctechnology.org or follow the show on both at NCTA handle as well as @NCTechTalk. So now we're going to spend some time with our next guest. Pierre Naudet has more than 34 years of experience in the financial technology industry. Named CEO of nCino just in 2012, and he's played a key role in the initial funding and oversees all aspects of the organization. So thank you again for joining us, Pierre.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get started into the business that you're in?
I came to the U.S. 27 years ago from South Africa, where I actually started working in technology in banks, where we literally came as two young kids to America, me and a colleague, to a show called ATM 8. It was in Nashville, Tennessee. I've never in my life seen so many people together up to that stage. It was a brilliant experience. And listened to all the vendors and thought, this is what people really do. We went back and strung together 2,500 ATMs before deregulation in the U.S., it turned out to be the largest ATM network in the world, and we thought this was pretty awesome. Wow. And shortly thereafter, I decided to come to the U.S. and basically start my career here. It's a pretty long background in financial technology.
Very good. And what about nCino's product? How, what value does that banking operating system offer to banks? And does it take a long time to get implemented? How would you describe that?
You know, so the interesting point about that is if you look at technology companies in the banking space, lots of time is spent on automating transactions and back-end accounting systems. But nobody's ever looked at a bank similar to a factory and said, these processes are all about efficiency. And look at your client, your borrower. How quickly can I get a commercial loan through the process? And how do I measure quality at every step of the way, okay? So what nCino is doing is solving problems for banks to connect with their clients through CRM, then do efficient workflows that's measurable, both for quality and efficiency, gather all the documentation up front at the first point of touch so you don't have these big paper files going through the banks, and then finally do full portfolio analysis and management so you understand your risk profiles. And if you put those four factors together, you actually start driving the bank in a very efficient way with a set of dashboards to understand exactly how your operation is functioning.
So has your market changed, or do you go for a different size of bank or even a different industry? How has that changed over the past 2.5 years?
So we started off saying we're going to focus purely on community banks below $10 billion in assets, and there's about 6,000 of those. When we crossed the 50 mark, we realized that this thing can actually scale up to larger banks. And at that stage, we started engaging with system integrators like PwC and Accenture. and they are taking us up market, and we are now into banks as big as 80 billion and another one as big as 200 billion, a top 10 bank in the US. And ironically, where I thought it's going to be a lot more complex, these bigger banks has more standardized processes, and actually the need is bigger up market. So we are seeing a two-pronged strategy for going to market in the future, a very specific channel-driven system integration model to the bigger banks, and then community banks down, we literally embrace them and do everything ourselves to make sure we treat them the same as they see their marketplace, which is very much community-based, very personal touch, high-touch model.
So how does that customer base break down? How many customers do you have? Are they all local, or where is that? You mentioned a lot of the larger banks being, which I would assume, national or larger.
Yes. So realize of the 6,100 banks in the U.S., 6,000 is below 10 billion, and 108 is above 10 billion. So we have two larger customers now that we're in the final, literally final days of signing up, and then I've got 68 in the below 10 billion market. And we add about 30 to 50 of those per year in the community bank space. And you could probably expect to add one to two big banks per year. Hmm.
So in living in North Carolina, I've always loved Wilmington. I spent my last anniversary there, Encino's base there. What are the benefits of living or even having a company in a coastal town like that?
Well, firstly, we decided to start the company there purely because we're closely aligned with Live Oak Bank. Mm-hmm. Live Oak Bank has been there since 2007. It's a specialty lender bank that is today the second largest originator of SBA loans in the U.S. And we wanted that knowledge, and the founders of Encino is also the owners of Live Oak Bank. And to be aligned with that vertical industry knowledge on a day-to-day basis, because that translation from business problem to technology is probably the most difficult thing in starting up a company. So for us to start there was a natural. And I will tell you, I had my reservations in the beginning, and it's actually a fantastic experience. UNCW brings tremendous students to us. We hired quite a lot from local universities there. I would also tell you that the beach town, there's a large number of what I call underemployed people there. We wanted to save the beach. And now we come and build a great company, and all of a sudden these people come out of the woodworks. And it's really a pleasant experience.
So what is the future for Encino? What can we expect to see down the road?
Well, you know, we've got three things we focus on. It's innovation, reputation, and speed. And so we will go without impacting our reputation, grow as fast as we can, because I do believe with SaaS, it's a unique opportunity in the market to automate and transition these banks to a much better operating model. So we will just go as fast as we can go without impacting our reputation. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we will go community bank space will always be the foundation of the company, and we'll go start going up market. And today we focused on commercial loan origination or commercial banking. We're expanding that next year into treasury management and onboarding. We'll go to small business. We'll go to retail and consumer lending. We'll go across to deposits. So by 2018, we would like to have an application on the desk of every employee in every bank in the U.S. That's the goal.
That's lofty goals, but sounds very great. What about, shifting to the individual professional side, the same question that I threw out to Michael there, to the aspiring executive, what was that book that really helped you or a mentor that really helped your development as you were building your career?
You know, in the early 90s, when I really started, enjoying business in the U.S. and understanding the business culture here, Jack Welch probably had the biggest impact on the way I view the synergies between people, business, and the customer and your shareholder. Mm-hmm. For the simple reason, you always have to ask yourself, is your company a family or is it a franchise like a sports team? And there's two distinct differences. In a sports team, we're a team, we trust each other, we pass the ball, and we know the other guy is there, he's also a professional, etc. But if you don't want to be going to the Super Bowl, well, then maybe you don't belong in the NFL, okay? And so I always see us as a sports team. We strive for the best, and we really drive to attract the best talent and the people who's driven to make a big success. And as such, you surround yourself with people like that. Versus a family, we all know we accommodate the crazy uncle in the basement.
And you can't get rid of them.
And you cannot get rid of them, okay? So we have a very, I would say, empowering culture where people are allowed to make mistakes. And what that kind of creativity allows them to do is really come to their full potential. And what I've seen is you take young people, you give them that kind of freedom, they know they're allowed to make mistakes, and you just build a great company. And they will attract more people like themselves then.
Well, that's a great touch on culture, and I know we both talked about this, so I'm going to bring Michael Prager back in on the conversation. And let's talk a little, let's dig down a little bit more into that since you're both in growth mode. What type of skill sets are you looking for, and have you had success finding them here locally? Michael?
Yeah, so on the AvidXchange side, we're highly dominated around the technology skill sets, being a you know software company involved in the payments area. And I would say that we've been fortunate that Charlotte as a city has a number of great bigger companies like the banks, like Duke Energy and others that have done a good job of bringing a lot of talent into the market that we've been able to feed off of. Now, that worked great in you know kind of our earlier years. Now, this past year, for example, we're going to hire close to 200 people for our business. And so we're starting to look outside the market as well. And in one of the things fortunate for us, Charlotte is a great community to attract talent from other parts of the country to come and relocate to because of the different amenities, cost of living, access to the beach, easy to get to Wilmington, as well as to the mountains.
Pierre, same thing. I mean, you talked a little bit about the skill set of being able to translate business into technology. Is it a highly technical skill set, or what is it that you're looking for at your organization?
About 25% of the employees are actually in the product development and technology space, but just short of 60% are people with a banking background, because we are all about business transformation in the banking environment, and that makes it a bit easier because there's lots of bankers around, even in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. But we do, in the beginning specifically, we struggled a little bit more with the technology skill sets. As the brand awareness is getting out there, and there's some other companies doing great work in Wilmington as well in the technology space, people are beginning to feel more secure coming to Wilmington. So yes, we recruit from all over, but we do whatever we can to bring them there. And then finally, you know, once we bring him into Wilmington, they see the quality of life we all have.
That's not a hard sell, is it?
Boats on the water. And we don't interview for an hour. We literally bring them for a day and a night. They have to go with us to some of the beach bars, understand exactly what this town offers. And then you get them to come, which is quite a great experience to see.
Yeah. And I'm going to stay with you as we talked a little bit, and you touched on company culture. And obviously, that's a big component to attracting talent. Michael, you talked about it as well. Pierre, tell us a little bit about that company culture that you want that first person, that interviewer, to see when they come to your organization.
You know, the first thing they're going to notice is the flip-flops and the shorts. It is a beach town, and we said from day one we're going to embrace that. And what they'll find is that there's literally kids that came out of UNCW 2 years ago walking around there, and then on a Monday morning get on a plane, go to a bank and implement the software and actually actively engage and drive transformation and change into that bank. And you must ask yourself, how could you do that? Well, we hired very much out of the norm. For instance, my head of marketing used to be the professor at UNCW running the entrepreneurial center. So, you know, those kind of environments that you create and you assure people, you can come here and do something out of character or out of place for your background and your degree. What it does is it opens up this whole creativity. And at first, they're skeptical. And until they see that you're serious about it and you challenge them all the time to do more and just do whatever they think is right in front of the client and come with ideas, I've now seen people in marketing innovate new products for us in the development side, totally just coming up with an idea. For instance, we're launching an app here shortly called Uber for Banking. You know, in the old days, you could call the doctor to come to your house. Well, why can't you call the banker? If you're an important customer. So we're doing stuff like that, and that comes from all levels and all departments of the organization.
Seems like it would be a dress code shift to go from flip-flops to suit and tie at the bank. So
They're
adapting it appropriately. Michael, same thing. What is the culture at AvidXchange?
Yeah, so there's a lot of similarities. We have a relaxed culture as well. And I think it's part of, you know, the demographic of the folks that we're trying to recruit to come to the company. And we kind of position it, you know, being in Charlotte, that we're the opposite of the banks in terms of what they look like, how they dress, all those type of things. And that kind of creates a certain type of person that wants to come and be challenged. But the biggest thing for us is it starts with our number one core value, which is being passionate about customer success. And we want people, whether they're building software, supporting our customer, working in our accounting team, that are passionate about making our customer successful. And then naturally, it translates to statusing the status quo. And we're trying to change an industry that's operated the same way for forever, right? Companies forever had made payments with paper checks. Today, 85% of companies are still making payments with paper check. And so how are we changing that? And so the combination of being passionate and challenging the status quo, and that's where the innovation factor comes in, has really allowed us to really to attract the best and brightest to come to work at AvidXchange.
It seems very interesting you had brought up two things. One is the adaptation of legacy systems and just the old way of paper checks, that kind of thing. So, Michael, talk a little bit about how you see technology impacting the financial industry. Where are those gains being, you know, what is the true benefit? What's the what are the challenges, if any, of adopting the technology?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different than the consumer side, where you know, consumers will do things because it's the newest thing to do, maybe the cool factor. In the case of business, businesses do things because there is a gain for them. There is an efficiency gain. There's an economic gain. There's a business reason to do something different. And so what we need to do is, what's the business reason to automate your payments and move to electronic payments rather than print paper checks? And it's to be able to demonstrate, one, the efficiency side, as well as the cost side, that it's a much more cost-effective way to satisfy your payments. But the real thing, I think, that a lot of people are now understanding, and big data has had a lot to do with this, there's tremendous power in capturing data on how you're running your organization. And sure, this is right up kind of Pierre's alley as well. But to now know and have data relates to all the vendors that you're paying, the timing that you're paying them, all those type of things, and how do you incorporate that back into your business from a process efficiency standpoint, becomes really powerful.
Pierre, you talked, kind of compared it also to the manufacturing industry, which is another one of those which was not highly technical to begin with, or technology wasn't extremely applied to that. So same comments, or what is your thought on the technology's impact?
You know, it's very interesting that I'm sure the audience has gone through a mortgage application. And after you filled out all the forms, you're into a black hole. And so what does a borrower want to know? There's only two questions. Am I approved? And when can I get the money? Those are the two things. Now, can you imagine the bank employee that's interfacing with you, trying to tell you where it stands? And especially in a commercial loan, which is the bread and butter of most of these banks, you know, and I would like to have an intelligent conversation. So in the beginning, we positioned the software as efficiency, you know, compliance, faster growth. And in the end, what we all realized is that these lenders just want to treat their client better. The moment you give full visibility into that back-end process, so you create CRM, and then the lender can see all the way into the processes what documentation is still missing, who's working on that. Maybe the responsibility is that of the lawyer of the borrower, and then I can push them along to get it done quicker. So we have reduced that loan closing time by over 30% in the banks that are our customers. So realize, the moment you do that, that makes sure that the bank is now more competitive, because I get my approval quicker, I get my funding quicker. And those factors are driving a success story where the word is now out in the market and people begin to understand it. So from day one, we said, if reputation is so important, can I then translate that into market share? So we said, year one, let's get 12 customers, but treat them so well that they each will bring two more to buy from us. And so we literally did 12 in year one, and then 22 additional in year two to take us to 34. This year, we'll cross 75 banks by December. And so next year, we want to add another 75, because word of mouth and reputation is really what we're building the company on.
So we'll just finish up with the one question about, since we talked about culture and attracting talent, Michael, what would you tell someone interested in working for your company? How do they get? How do they find out about opportunities? What are you looking for in that type of person as they apply?
We're looking for, number one, cultural fit, and second of all, talent and kind of industry experience for us isn't as relevant, because we believe that if we have the right motivated person that's passionate about making a difference combined with talent, they'll do great things at AvidXchange.
Yeah. Pierre?
You know, the same thing here. We can train for skills, but I cannot change your attitude. So we look for that cultural fit. We look for people with a great attitude and the necessary, at least approach to business. And we can train you whatever we do. So I'm not as big on hiring for past experience, etc. I just want to see that energy, that passion, and really a fit with the company. And with us, you know, come to Wilmington. Why would you not come there? Is always the question I would ask, okay? It's a fantastic lifestyle. Go to our website. By the way, I give my cell phone number to every customer we have. And I will give it to anyone who wants to call us to come and work there, because it's such a fantastic environment. And it's very simple. There's a reason I to this day have a Philadelphia cell phone number, because I started doing this when we first got cell phones and I lived in Philly. So my cell phone is 215-237-8595. You call me and come to Wilmington.
Wow. And your website as well?
Website is www.encino.com. And by the way, the name Encino plays off the Spanish for Live Oak Bank, which is the parent company. Right. And as a tech company, you take the E off and make the C big, and then you're cool. So that's where Encino comes from.
Yes. Michael, and AvidXchange is just like it's spelled, right?
Exactly. Yeah. www.avidxchange, without an E in the middle, as we say.
Great. Well, I want to thank both of our guests for their time, Michael and Pierre. It was a pleasure. We're looking forward to hearing great things to come, as well as anything in the future. And thank you all for joining us here on NC Tech Talk. If you want to learn more about the show, including archived broadcast or anything that is Encita, visit our website at nctechnology.org. Again, follow us on Twitter at NCTA or our company page on LinkedIn. Our next show will be on December 22nd, so be sure to tune in then for the next broadcast. Have a great afternoon.